Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio with my trusty co-host, Stephanie Burke.
Trusty. Okay. Hey.
You're not trusty?
I don't know. That sounds like something out of the Little Rascals or something. Okay. My trusty sidekick.
Okay. Well, she's way more than trusty. She's my wife, which is a great blessing to me. Certainly a bit of a punishment to her. But I'm grateful that she's willing to participate. And we're grateful to be on the air with you today on EWTN, on Facebook, on SpiritualDirection.com, all around the world. We're grateful to serve and to bring all of our perspectives together and the great cloud of witnesses together to draw our hearts and minds to God. And we do that through the wisdom of the saints, through talking about divine intimacy, which means intimacy with God, with in terms of our relationship to God. Am I making sense today?
Yes, so far.
So far? Good. Yeah. Awesome. So, we're doing a Q&A show today on Catholic spirituality, as usual, or very common anyway. And why don't we just go ahead and jump into questions?
Okay. Our first question comes from Mark.
Yeah.
And he says, these are his words, "I am in a parish where folks just make up whatever they want in terms of how they participate in Mass. One thing we do that drives me nuts is holding hands through the Our Father. My first question is, how do I deal with this spiritually?
Yeah.
I don't want to sin in my response.
Mm-hmm.
My second is practical. How do I deal with the person reaching out their hand to me? I don't want to be a jerk, but why do people do this kind of thing when the church doesn't allow for it?"
I kind of like this guy. You know, I have a vision where...
Are you sure you didn't write this question?
Right. I have a vision of him... Now, I don't know Mark, so I have a vision of him wanting to smack the hand of the person next to him who's reaching out to him. Well, Stephanie, the reason she said, "Are you sure you didn't write this one?" because she knows that these sorts of things are...
passed through your mind?
Yes, right, regularly. Mainly part of the issue is I'm a convert, you know, to the faith, and I love the faith, and I came to a belief that this is the church that Jesus established, the Catholic Church, and that the magisterium is there because Christ put it there. He of course gave the church the authority to teach in his name and to govern and all of that. And so when we come to the Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, there's no more important place for us to submit to God and to ask, "What do you want from us in terms of worship?" That's the proper disposition of someone coming to worship, not, "This is what I want, this is what I like," which is really common in our culture. And so it's always a bit baffling to me how even, you know, folks who are faithful enough to go to daily Mass are constantly doing things that have nothing to do with what the church has said or that are contrary to what the church has said. So things like holding hands during the Our Father is contrary. The general instruction of the Roman Missal says that no one has the authority to change the Mass. And whenever you add a gesture that becomes corporate or even personally, though you can privately, you can hold your hands in a prayer posture or whatever, but as soon as you make something corporate in particular, you're entering into this territory of that which is governed by the rubrics, and you're changing the Mass. And so certainly it's true, and Mark is right in that it shouldn't be done. It's not proper to the Roman Rite, and it never has been. But people do it. So how do you deal with that when they do it? So spiritually, I think, is the first question, how to deal with that spiritually. And I think the most important thing is we have to go to Mass with a heart oriented to giving ourselves to God and focused on worshiping Him. And if you have a daily mental prayer practice, and this is really what's changed everything for me, the practice of daily mental prayer, regular confession, gives me the strength and ability to walk into, really, we travel a lot, any mass situation, and not be, you know, wrecked by all the liturgical abuses that are so common, primarily in the Novus Ordo realm. So spiritually, having a sound a spiritual life yourself of mental prayer, a grounding and the ability to draw your heart and mind to Christ, which is why mental prayer has such a powerful effect on us and for many other reasons. But Steph, any ideas about approaching Mass that can help Mark, aside from the abuses, but just spiritually?
Well, two things come to mind. My first spiritual director, beautiful, beautiful priest. Mm-hmm. Hey, wherever you are. You know, he used to say...
Father Budke.
Yeah. Loved Father Budke.
Yeah.
So he used to say, you know, we need to make excuses for others. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of my spiritual walk, I never understood that. Mm-hmm. You know, I do now. Yeah. Back then, I was so justice-oriented. I was like, no, you know, they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
The thing is that... Well, that's the first thing that comes to mind. The second thing that comes to mind is... Providentially, we just came from Arizona, mm-hmm. where we met another beautiful priest, mm-hmm. Father Kenny, mm-hmm. in Bullhead
Father
City.
Father Keith Kenny
in Bullhead City, Nevada. Hey, hey. Hope you're out there listening to us. Beautiful holy priest.
Bullhead City, Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
And he took the time when he was assigned to that parish to teach his parishioners, his, you know, sheep, as it were, in his parish, how to properly worship in the Mass. Mm-hmm. Well, I looked at that Mass after knowing that he was teaching that way, and guess what? They don't do the things.
They don't have all those liturgical abuses on the part of the laity.
Part of the laity. Why? Mm. Because he's taken the time to teach them.
Right.
I'm a cradle Catholic, unlike you. I was never taught mm-hmm. about the gestures in Mass. I was never told that this was problematic. And even through, as I continue to go from church to church, I would adopt what people were doing around me mm-hmm. because it's just natural for us to start to mimic each other when we're in big groups. We start to mimic our gestures and behaviors.
Right.
So in an excuse towards the people next to us that do this, they don't know is my first assumption. So approaching it spiritually with a heart of charity mm-hmm. and making excuses for them and saying, you know, they probably don't know.
It's most likely they don't.
They don't, and right. they haven't been taught. So charity always first. Right. We need to approach it that way. And then the other thing, you know, he asked, well, what do we do about it? Mm-hmm. Well, Father Kenny said, you know, when somebody's like tapping you and mm-hmm. trying to get your hand, you know, I've had people do that. I want peace at Mass. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ignore them if they physically touch me and reach out for me that way. In charity, I just take their hand.
Yeah.
I pray, and that's it. I have learned to lower my head and place my hands in a gesture of prayer. Mm-hmm. And generally, when people see you do that, then they're not going to reach out to you.
Yeah, and that one I really agree with the most.
Right.
And why is, now there's different perspectives on this. Now we're getting to the practical issue here. For me, I can't stomach participating in, you know, in a way that is not ordered by the church. I'm just, it doesn't work for me. And I don't agree with the idea that we should just, for the sake of unity, do it. Because now what we're saying is, the folks who are breaking the tradition and who are adding things and doing the wrong thing, now they govern what happens, right? When we join in. So I don't agree with that perspective. However, what I like is what you said, which is, and this is what I do as well when I go to, especially to places I don't know if it's going to come or if it's going to happen, is when I know the Our Father's coming, I close my eyes. So mm-hmm. I'm not refusing anybody willfully because I can't see them. I don't know if they're reaching out for me. And I place my hands together in front of my mouth in a posture of prayer, right? And I close my eyes and I just write it out and I focus on the Lord and I don't worry about what's going on around me.
Right.
As you noted, usually that solves the problem.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what I'm talking about is if somebody, you know, I've had little ladies next to me, like hitting my arm, trying to get my arm.
And you want to smack them away.
I'm not going to be rude. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to smile, nod,
and
take their little hand and, you know, so.
Yeah, you want to be kind, and I agree with that. I mean, it's just a tough situation. But in general, do that. But the key is, I'll give you, we have a prayer that we pray in the Apostolic Via community. It's in the prayer book in order to help us to get our minds and hearts on Mass. It says, the rubrics for us in preparing for Mass says this, don't allow the impiety of others to cause you to judge them or distract you. Because the enemy loves that, right?
Right.
The other thing is, I know that some people are deeply saddened and sorrowed at all of the abuse. And I get that. And I think, and that certainly has happened to me, particularly abuses related to mishandling of the Lord in the Eucharist. That drives me really that's the deepest, most offensive thing that I struggle with. And so I have been sorrowed by that. But we need to remember that we're going there to worship the Lord and to allow the actions of others to dictate our mental, emotional, spiritual state is a bit problematic. You had something to say before we hit break.
Well, I think, you know, if you're in that situation, one of the most important things that you're to do, if mm-hmm. if this is on your radar, if the Lord's calling this to you and placing this, you know, kind of, you know, in the center of what you're focusing on at Mass, then perhaps He's prompting you to pray for your priest.
Right.
We need to be praying for our priests that they get the proper formation, that they're faithful.
Yeah.
And when they are, we need to support them like crazy. When they're not, we need to sacrifice and pray for them even more. So I think that's an important thing that we need to do.
You know, we get back from the break in relationship to that. I want to kind of finish this thought about how it is that we can participate in bringing about renewal in the liturgy in a positive way that doesn't get us out of whack spiritually.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right. Hey friends, this is Dan Burke. Just wanted to pop in and let you know that our website, spiritualdirection.com, has been completely updated and revamped. So we still have the great content of over 3,000 articles on the interior life and spiritual theology out there. But also, we've redesigned it so it's easier to find materials. We've highlighted our podcast and a huge video library that's growing every day. So go out to spiritualdirection.com and check it out.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, and my wife's laughing at me because of my fumbling and bumbling, but we're back and we're talking about spirituality and the liturgy, and particularly how to deal with liturgical abuses, which are really plague the Novus Ordo community in general. And I don't mean by saying that I'm not criticizing the Mass, the post-Vatican II Mass. In saying that, what we're talking about is people who are writing to us who are struggling with spiritually, how do I deal with the abuses? But it's really sticking your head in the sand to say that post Vatican II, I'm trying to find a diplomatic way, which is why I'm struggling a bit with this. Post Vatican II, the liturgical abuses are just rampant, and you just don't find as much in the Latin Mass realm. But we're not here to compare the two. We're here to talk about how to deal with this spiritually. So another thing. Well, you know what? I have an idea. Why don't we hit the next question?
Right.
And then I'll wrap up with the prayer that we traditionally pray after receiving communion that relates to how to draw your heart and mind properly to Christ.
Okay. So Lisa asks, how do I deal with liturgical abuse at my parish? It drives me crazy. There's a clue right there.
Mm-hmm.
Every Mass, I suffer and I can't focus. Another clue.
Right.
How can I focus on our Lord with all that is all the talking? With all the talking that is going on.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, so similar to Mark, right? I mean, the ability to recollect ourselves is something that we learn outside of Mass primarily. And this is what I mentioned earlier. People significantly undervalue the power of mental prayer in terms of its ascetical dimension, which is the doing it every day, the practicing of it on a human level, the ability to focus ourselves on the Lord, fighting through distractions. If you practice mental prayer every day, not aside from all the amazing and beautiful graces that God pours out upon us as we do that, we learn to recollect ourselves, meaning we learn to have control over our hearts and minds, and we learn the ability, we gain the ability by God's grace and our effort and cooperating with His grace to focus our faculties. St. Teresa of Avila called this recollection, this idea of focusing of our faculties, an acquired recollection, which means that we can do it at will. So we have, when we are this disrupted, it's because we are at a spiritual deficit most of the time, I think.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Either that or it's the demonic realm of distractions
sure.
to pull us away from prayer. Either
right.
way,
mm-hmm.
we need to be taking all thoughts captive to Christ.
Yeah.
So that we can enter into this most beautiful reality.
Yeah, and so something Stephanie brings up that's really important. So let's say we don't practice daily mental prayer, so we're not able to recollect our faculties, all of that. We're not also, daily mental prayer disposes the heart and mind to the graces of God in the Mass. So it's sort of like this virtuous cycle when you do that. So if we're not doing that, what we're subject to is whatever the enemy wants to do with us is going to do with us.
Right.
So we get into Mass and it's the baby a few weeks ago was the guy right behind us who was sniffling.
Which I never heard, by the way.
Because she's holier than me, right? But he was sniffling. I'm thinking, what are you sick? Why are you here? I'm thinking, is he wiping his nose with his hands? Am I going to have to turn around and do the...
So for our audience, right. Notice where my husband's thoughts are during the Mass, right?
Hey,
I'm not... For anybody who's under the illusion that Dan Burke...
levitates at every Mass, right? No. I mean, look, we all struggle, so...
Right.
So, but having... But I was able, and even in that Mass, I was able to be very attentive to the Lord, though I was far more distracted than I should have.
Yeah.
But the disquiet, the frustration, the anger, the sorrow, the difficulties, sometimes on the sorrow side, I can get that being kind of a holy reaction, which is more about me going to prayer.
Consoling the Lord,
yeah.
Yeah.
But the other emotions are typically just from our own immaturity, spiritual immaturity, and we've got to work on those. It's a good sign that we've got to work on them. So we've got to do that. So there are a couple of other things that we do to help us. One is we study and draw our hearts and minds to the reality of what's really happening in the Mass, which is why I commissioned a book published by Sophia Institute Press, which you can pick up at EWTN's religious catalog. It's called A Devotional Journey into the Mass
by Christopher Carson.
Christopher Carson's absolutely fantastic guy. And
fantastic book. Really amazing insights and just beautifully interwoven with the reality of his fatherhood and mm-hmm. His children and his own life as a husband and father. It's really beautiful.
It is a beautiful book. And that the particular focus of this book is how to participate in the Mass. And so it focuses on our responsibility. My book, I just pulled it out of my bookcase and it's about ready to fall down. So our responsibility in terms of how we draw our hearts and minds to God, how we participate effectively, that can help you deal with the difficulties of Mass. We get to Mass, typically we try to get there a half hour early. I know that sounds like a long time, but that gives us the ability to begin to pray and enter in.
It's a very intimate time, very right. Beautiful time to quiet our minds. We mm-hmm. also don't listen to the radio on the way to
right.
Mass. We generally do our rosary on the way to Mass, yeah. which helps us spiritually to really enter into this beautiful reality that we're about to participate in.
We pray preparatory prayers. We have in our prayer books, which you can find in any good traditional prayer book, like the Prayer of St. Ambrose, that can help you to focus, that sort of thing. We have rubrics that we follow in our from our the Apostoli Via community in terms of preparing ourselves for the forgiveness of venial sins and the penitential rite, what we're going to offer the Mass up for. So we're doing a lot of things to, before the noise starts, to draw our hearts and minds to Christ. We also try to sit in particular places in the church that tend to be less prone to these problems. So we, if you sit all the way up front, which we typically do, there's not much going on in front of you except for the priest. And
right.
The,
I can't sit at the back. It's very difficult for me.
Right.
I'm very visual, so there's too much activity going on, and I'm noticing hairstyles and clothing and colors and
right.
It's whatever. Oh, look at that baby. Then I spend most of the time looking at the beautiful baby.
Right.
So,
Yeah. So these are a couple of ways. And then we're paying attention, to the homily. We're just, our goal is to focus as much of our time or much of our heart and mind on what's happening at the altar, which is the most important thing, and it's why we're there, not the people around us. Fellowship is important, but that happens after,
right.
outside of the nave, outside of the main body of the church, what should be. And then after we receive communion as a tradition, and this is in our community, but you can also do this, we pray the Litany of the Most Blessed Sacrament, which was, I think, written by St. Peter Emyard, which is absolutely beautiful. We pray it in our rubric, say, we offer in thanksgiving for the gift of receiving the Lord in the Eucharist and for reparations for offenses against the Blessed Sacrament, the restoration of reverence and faithful liturgy and teaching, deep faith in the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and for protection of holy and faithful priests. And so we pray that litany after we receive communion,
right.
which is a way of receiving thanksgiving, staying focused. We don't typically get caught up. There's always weird musical things. Our parish, our home parish, doesn't have these problems.
Right.
Neither, by the way, does the parish in Bullhead City, Arizona, which is St. Margaret Mary. Father Keith Kinney is fantastic there. Absolutely beautiful the way that they handle the liturgy. So, did you have more thoughts on that stuff?
No. It's just that prayer in particular, if you have difficulty with distractions, helps you really, everything that's said in it is worship, adoration, thanksgiving, petition. It's all of that mm-hmm. in that particular prayer. So, I also try to add my own mental prayer to that mm-hmm. in conversation with the Lord. But, we can find ourselves thinking about where we're going to go eat for lunch and,
yeah.
What our grocery list is. We don't want to do that, especially at this most precious time. So that prayer really helps us to stay focused.
So it's Litany of the Most Blessed Sacrament by St. Peter Emyard. And you can probably find that on spiritualdirection.com or other places. So, well, and if it's not out there, we should probably put it up.
Right.
But I think we have time for at least a few more questions, and I think we're changing the topic away from liturgy.
Okay. So this question comes from Susan. This may seem like a juvenile question, but I see this so often, and people get stuck in despair because they cannot see the difference. The question is, will you explain the difference between what God sees as perfection and what the world sees as perfection? I see people who think mistakes or weakness that are not sinful make them a failure and cannot be perfected, so they despair at their own weaknesses and mistakes, it sounds like. For example, the wife, the housewife with five little kids who has a messy house, often thinks this means she is not making progress in perfection towards God.
Well, no, this turned out to be a longer question than I thought in terms of time, but there is, you know, perfectionism is a problem. It can be rooted in pride. It can be rooted in a hypercritical spirit or whatever. But, right, I mean, you know, what God is looking for from us is always to be striving towards Him. I think...
Disposition of heart.
A disposition of heart.
Right.
Now, and I think it was you or somebody referenced a beautiful idea, maybe from St. Catherine of Siena. I can't remember.
That what the Lord desires most, that it sorrows Him, not so much when we sin, but when we sin and don't immediately get up and run back to Him.
Right.
You know, so that's...
Say that again.
So his sorrow, and he said this to St. Catherine, is not so much that we sin, but that we sin and don't immediately get up and run back to Him.
So that's really the secret. Even when we're not rightly judging what should or shouldn't be in terms of our disappointment.
Right. So with that, our time is up. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May He preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.